I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
KSL's top national story, special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
Talking about your money right now, we're going to pit Utah Senator Mitt Romney's minimum wage plan against President Joe Biden's. I'm going to boil it down for you. Senator Romney calling for a bump in the minimum wage to 10 bucks an hour. President Biden, 15 bucks an hour.
Well, as you boil it down, I'm going to turn up the heat and cause a little more chaos and confuse the process a little bit, because Senator Romney's plan does have a twist to it. It's the why behind his $10 an hour, and it's because he thinks it will help with illegal immigration.
Oh, I'm looking forward to your explanation on that. We're also going to have a live report from Lindsay Ayert. She's live on the line with us right now, and as we bring Lindsay in, KSL News Radio, of course, when I crunched the numbers this morning, the difference is pretty stark. Full-time at minimum wage under Romney's plan will put you below poverty level for a family of three at $20,000 a year. President Biden's plan, not much better, but a bit more better at $30,000 a year. Now, that's if the plan goes into effect, which it's now being debated as part of the stimulus package, that's where you'll land. $10,000 a year difference, David.
Well, and the problem here is that we think that $10 an hour or $15 an hour is a livable wage, and it's not. It doesn't matter if it's $10 or $15 an hour. Neither of them are a livable wage. And sometimes we get sucked into that conversation thinking that, oh, the minimum wage means you can have a house and you can have two cars and you can send your kids on summer camp retreats. No, there's no way that's happening. Not at 10, not at 15.
Lindsay Ayert of KSL News Radio has been looking into both plans, joining us with the nuances. Good morning, Lindsay.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
Oh, good. How about if you start with President Biden's plan? Give us a lowdown in the next few seconds.
Well, yeah. So there's a couple of glaring differences between these two plans, and then there are a couple of more nuanced differences. So President Biden's plan, obviously, as you mentioned, would ramp up the price of the federal minimum wage to $15 every. So it would ramp it up a little bit every year, and then it would adjust it to the median wage growth after 2025. Senator Romney's plan, $10 federal minimum wage by 2025. Again, that sort of slow ramp up, and then it adjusts it to inflation for every 2 years. So they both want to have it keep up, but different methods for doing that. Senator Romney's plan also has a slower roll-in for small businesses. So this proposal, it would have a slower phase-in for businesses with under 20 employees. So the minimum wage would increase by 50 cents each year for those businesses for 5 years instead of four, and then getting to 975 before being set to the federal minimum wage. And then the Democratic bill does not make an exception for small businesses, and that's where Romney's hoping to appeal to some of those Republicans. Romney's plan also maintains the disability exception. It would exempt employees with disabilities from minimum wage. The Democratic proposal would make it equal to the federal minimum wage by 2026. Romney's plan also wants to delay any of this being implemented until after the pandemic. And he's also going to increase the youth minimum wage over 5 years. Democrats would increase the youth minimum wage. They would also gradually raise wages for tipped workers. And then the other big glaring difference, as you mentioned, Dave, about Romney's plan, is mandating businesses to tighten up on using undocumented workers. So the money is only going to legal workers. And Romney's plan proposes doing this by making businesses use this E-Verify system, an online system that allows employers to check immigration status using the government's records, and they would have 18 months to kind of ramp that up. And then there will also be higher penalties, increased civil and possible criminal penalties for employers that dodge the rules, basically.
Lindsay Ertz. Thanks for the quick rundown on this. And Debbie, that was one of the angles that really stood out to me, was in Senator Romney's plan. He was using this $10 an hour, the minimum wage, and hooking it and connecting it to this E-Verify program.
Okay.
Now, you actually have some experience with the E-Verify program.
Yeah, because we had a small business when I was growing up through the years, and in my younger adult years, I actually still worked there for a while. And I always thought E-Verify, because of that business that we ran, the foundry, everybody was doing it. I remember when it came into play, and now it's under the Department of Homeland Security. They run it. But it's not, what I just found out is it's not mandatory. So while some businesses may be using it, for example, if you have federal government contracts as a business owner, you have to use E-Verify.
How did it work? Because your dad did this, right?
I don't even know for sure. I just know that's what we went through. But I guess not all businesses are. In fact, the majority of businesses don't use it. So Romney's plan would require every business do that and use that to verify someone's legal status. And I guess I was just surprised that we weren't already doing that, because that's been in place for decades, Dave. It's been available for use.
And there are already some penalties if you're using undocumented workers, if you get caught, right? Mm-hmm. This would create an environment where everybody that is working has to be verified, and you just do it electronically. And it's interesting, because I do know, and I've seen this. I've worked in construction a lot. I don't know if I'd say a lot, but off and on through the years, I've worked in some construction sites, and I can tell you there were some undocumented workers that were not being paid the same as other people on the job site. And it was extremely unfair, and they were being exploited. So I think it's an interesting twist to Governor and Senator Romney's plan.
We still want to get back to that $10 versus $15 an hour. And maybe that's the selling point for you, Dave. If you're going to pick a plan, maybe that e-verification system and mandating that and increasing penalties for those companies that don't use it is your selling point if you were to pick a plan. I'm not trying to speak on your behalf, but it sounds like maybe that was that's a deal breaker for you with Biden's plan. But it could also be the fact that Biden's plan is $15 an hour versus Romney's plan, which is $10 an hour.
Well, part of what frustrates me about the entire conversation, and when we have these conversations, we talk about the minimum wage, right? Like, the minimum wage can support a family or even support yourself. But $10 an hour, even if you're working 40 hours a week, you did the math. What is it, $20,000 a year?
Yep.
Who can survive on $20,000 a year? I mean, there's no way you can afford rent, a vehicle, health care, food, not at $10 an hour, not at $15 an hour. So we find so much time and passion and energy to talk about this minimum wage when that was never set up. And it is not possible to support yourself on that amount.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready, because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
KSL's top national story, special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
It's part of the stimulus package that's being debated right now back in Washington, D.C. Bumping up the minimum wage. President Biden's plan calls for $15 an hour, phased in over several years. But Senator Romney then chimes in as well, dropping this plan for $10 an hour minimum wage. Do you side with the senator or the president, David?
Can I say neither? Because we haven't touched the minimum wage since 2009. And guess what? Everybody's being paid more than minimum wage. So is this really necessary? Or is the federal government just coming in and saying, you know what? I know this isn't really a problem, but we want to kind of pretend like it's a problem. So what do you think about this?
The federal minimum wage, you just brought that up, 2009. Think back. How far? That's 12 years ago, right? 12 years ago. I'm sure there's some people who are still making $7.25 an hour. You said nobody. I'm sure there are some people out there, right? We want to hear from you. 801-575-TALK. Taking your calls for the next few minutes. Do you side with Biden's plan? Do you side with Romney's plan? Do you side with Dave Noriega's plan? Scrooge calling for neither? Okay, let me just take you on a walk back in time. It was July 24th, 2009. It went from $6.55 an hour to $7.25 an hour. Wow, a whopping 75 cents an hour. Save your money. 75. Before that, the minimum wage was just stuck, floating along. For 10 years, David, at $5.15 an hour. Who would work for that?
I did. The year was 1994. I had just graduated from high school, and my dad had me a job by Monday. He's like, you're going to be digging footings, shoveling footings all day, and I was making $5.15 an hour. I didn't even know what I was getting paid, just dad told me to show up, which I did. When I got that first paycheck, it was a month in, it was $5.15 an hour. And I'm like, I am not getting paid $5.15 an hour.
Really?
I quit and I went and got a new job, within a day. It was not hard.
A prima David.
Yeah, total prima David at $5.15 an hour. That was before taxes. So I went out and I got another job. It paid a couple dollars more an hour, and I never worked minimum wage again. So
they just refuse
victory.
I'm not going to work for those kinds of wages. Before we get to phone calls. Oh, we got phone calls lined up. I wanted to tell my minimum wage story, but we're going to wait because we want to get to our listeners and have them chime in. James, West Valley City, you worried about the minimum wage going up from $7.25 an hour?
Yes, I am.
Why?
Because there's a couple of things. If minimum wage goes up, the price of everything, groceries, anything you buy is going to have to double up in price too. I mean, the merchants are going to have to pass on the extra money somewhere. And another thing, immigration. If you think there's a lot of immigrants coming in now, you're going to flood in even a lot more, because $15 an hour for them, and then most of that money's going to go south because they all send money back home. But the biggest part of it is seniors don't get an increase on their wages, and they're the ones that are struggling to make ends meet on their groceries, on their prescriptions, or their utilities, on their property taxes. But their wages aren't going to go up, and they're the ones that are going to be hurting the most.
James, thank you for the phone call. That was an angle that I hadn't really thought about. But you're right. If you raise the price, if you raise the wages of everybody, then naturally we will see companies raise their prices to make up the difference, right? But for those seniors especially that are on a fixed income, they're not going to be able to see that kind of increase in their Social Security checks. But they'll be paying more for milk, and they'll be paying more for cheese and eggs.
How do you know that?
Well, it's pretty simple. If I'm paying you $10 an hour, now I've got to give you a 50% raise to $15 an hour.
Sell
I'm
more
not going to take the loss as a boss.
Sell more milk. Rich in West Jordan, what are yours? What's your take on this? Should we go $10, $15, or just take the Scrooge Dave approach and say nothing?
Hey, I'm with Dave all the way. And also, James's comments were exactly right on. I've seen it happen in the military. Every time the military would get a pay raise, everything out in town around the base would go up also. Mm. Haircuts would go up, dry cleaning would go up, food would go up, everything would go up. Because the minimum wage is never meant to be a support. It's a starting point. You raise the starting point, you just have to step higher on the ladder. And, you know, I've seen this also. When you raise the minimum wage, employers have to pay more to their lowest employees. So what do? Hours get cut back. People get let go because they don't want to pay more than what they're having to pay.
Well, and thank you so much for your call, Rich, from West Jordan. We appreciate it. We got more calls on the line. Dave, I'm going to say that we are saying this from a perspective 30 years out for me, 30 years out from earning the minimum wage. Has our perspective changed on this? When we're struggling, when I had to figure out how to make no money, buy me food. I'll take you a walk back in time real quick before we get to the next call. The year was 1989. Poison hit it big with Every Rose Has Its Thorn. And Dave, I was broke. I was just dead broke making minimum wage in the business. I wanted to be in the news business. And you say it's not a livable wage, but you know how many hours I was working at $3.25 some odd cents an hour, I think. That's what, $6,000 a year? How can you live on $500 a month? Now, that's a long time ago. Can we have some empathy for these folks that are starting out?
Oh, it's not an empathy issue. It's a solutions issue. I just don't think the federal government has shown any kind of leadership or interest in the minimum wage for 30 years. And we have seen that the free market has already fixed the problem. You mentioned it earlier in the show. Walmart is starting people at what, $15 an hour?
It's 2021. They're the largest private employer in the entire nation. It may be the world, but the nation. $15
and they did it without the government mandating.
Finally. Kent from Clinton, before I lose my mind on David, what do you think about bumping up the minimum wage to at least $10 an hour? Give me something here.
I would say abolish the minimum wage altogether. I've only had one job where I never actually was paid below minimum wage when I started working a lagoon years ago, and the minimum wage was $3.25, and I was being paid $3 an hour to work at Lagoon. And since then, I've made way above minimum wage.
Did you get free rides? Did you get a free ride at Lagoon, at least a free pass? Is that what the deal was?
We got free rides at Lagoon, and yes, it was fun to work there, but it was. I don't believe that there should be a minimum wage. I think that it should be market driven, and if they were to eliminate the minimum wage, I believe the wages would go up across the board.
All right. Thank you for your call, Kent. Shauna, are we out of time?
Go for it, Shauna.
All right, Shauna.
We'll give you 30 seconds. We'll give you 30.
A local, regional, or state issue, not a national issue, because cost of living is different in different areas of the country.
Thank you. Succinct, and I think also on point. What minimum wage means in New York City is completely different than what it means in Salt Lake City.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.